This is 89.9 WWNO. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled week. Are you making plans, or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. Jazz Fest 2014 is now a memory, but we'll tell you about a new mobile app that's spreading our rich Louisiana sound around the world. We get a call from across the pond as British actor Julian Sands heads to the Crescent City. And we catch up with David Parsons of Parsons Dance as his contemporary dance company gears up to perform with a local jazz legend. It's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack. Well, Jazz Fest 2014 is now in the rearview mirror, but that doesn't mean you can't continue to connect with our city's jazz history. The Preservation Resource Center of New Orleans and Culture Connect, a locally based technology company, have launched a new mobile app to help you connect with local jazz greats from the past. It's called Jazz Houses, Where They Lived. And joining me to talk about this project are PRC board member Edgar Chase and Suzanne Blom, PRC Director of Education and Outreach. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Tell me, how are you bringing our city's jazz history to life with this new venture?
It uses the latest in technology, and we want to go out and thank Culture Connect for launching this mobile app program. You can link onto that mobile app, and then you will see all the jazz people who lived in New Orleans and perfected their craft. And what I started to call, when we first originated this idea at the PRC, a woodshed tour. You can virtually tour where they lived online and see pictures of them and hear their songs that they played. And it brings you back in time and makes you proud to be a part of New Orleans.
Why was the PRC interested in this technology?
You know, for several years now, I have dreamt about being able to put the Jazz House program in a smartphone app. And financially, I was not able to do that because of budgetary concerns and restraints. But then I was lucky enough to meet Monica Smicek and Samantha Diamond, who recently launched Culture Connect in the last year. And they had an interest to bring this program to life as well. And so, you know, right place and right time, I suppose. People across New Orleans, they'll be driving through different historic neighborhoods. They'll see one of our handmade, beautiful hand-lettered wooden plaques on a house, and they may stop and read the plaque. But this way, you can actually find out more about the musicians from the comfort of your sofa, or when you see one of those plaques, you can actually look up the information by the artist and also find out more about the neighborhoods. And then you can hear their music. The George H. Buck Foundation was kind enough to contribute music clips from many of these musicians, so that is so exciting.
That's incredible. Tell us more about the PRC's Jazz Plaque program, because I believe that is what is driving this interest in the app.
Yes, I, along with Annie Avery and others, I think it was around 1999, 2000, we started what is called the African American Heritage Program, which was designed around great African American musicians in jazz. But later we found out that it's not just an African American thing to be great in jazz. There are all sorts of performers from Louis Prima on that lived in New Orleans. The ethnic diversity of jazz is just throughout New Orleans, as our city is open to all people and our culture is about all of us. We work with Dr. Jack Stewart, and he did research on the top 100 jazz musicians at that time and where they lived, and that we would put a plaque on their homes to perhaps have a cultural tour of where those famous people lived and where the culture of jazz developed.
Where are we in the program at this point?
There are over 800 former homes of jazz musicians in our database, and approximately 500 of those have been verified by multiple sources. And then with the plaque program, we've plaqued over 60 former homes of jazz musicians.
So which musicians are we likely to connect with the new app?
Well, I'll start at the first plaque. That's the former home of Louis Armstrong. And unfortunately, his boyhood home is no longer there. Now, most of these sites are still remaining, thankfully. But there's several that we've lost. And so the first plaque that the Preservation Resource Center placed was a beautiful marble plaque, which was funded by Mark Morial, the mayor at the time. And you can still see that plaque there today. It's at the former site of Jane Alley, and it's at the courthouse on Tulane and Broad. And so through the app, we can actually connect that marble slab that's the only remaining marker. There's actually a street sign in that says Jane Alley still. But then with pictures of Louis Armstrong, with information about his life, and then pictures of the home which once stood there. So that's pretty cool.
I like them all. Sidney Bechet, Danny Barker, Jelly Roll Martin, Red Allen. They're all throughout the city of New Orleans in there, in Algiers, all spread out. But the point is, culture is diverse, culture is rich. Jazz music is a fabric of that culture that we celebrate. We also have a program that stems from this called My City, My Home, where we bring this program into the school to talk about cultural legacy of famous people in the city of New Orleans and to keep that culture going. So we have the students aware of neighborhoods, rich neighborhoods, where culture was enriched by just ordinary people blowing a horn, playing a clarinet like Johnny Dodd in 1926, which is on this app. It's called Perdido Street Blues. Now, we know Perdido Street is where City Hall is, so I don't know if that's why he wrote it, but it wasn't at that time. It was a major jazz venue, Perdido Street, for the African-American community.
How are you engaging folks from outside Louisiana?
The reach of this program is growing. I believe it may be 40% of individuals who have logged into this application are from outside of Louisiana.
How do we get the app, and is it free?
It is free, and you can get it from several ways. From your mobile phone, you can simply text the word jazz to the number 99,000. It's as easy as it sounds, and you'll get a text back with a link to the app. Also, from your tablet or mobile device, the direct link is bit.do/jazzhouses. And then another way you can get to it is you can simply go to the homepage at prcno.org, which is the Preservation Resource Center's homepage, and you'll find a link there.
All right. Edgar Chase and Suzanne Blum with the Preservation Resource Center. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you, Diane Mack.
Thank you very much.
You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO. I'm Diane Mack. British actor Julian Sands, known for his film roles in The Killing Fields, A Room with a View, and the TV show 24, is heading to New Orleans. Sands will channel the late Nobel Prize-winning playwright Harold Pinter through theatrical readings on the writer's lesser-known poetry. As the Contemporary Arts Center presents a celebration of Harold Pinter, directed by John Malkovich, Julian Sands joins us by phone from Kent, England. Julian, welcome to Inside the Arts.
Thank you, Diane. It's a pleasure to talk to you and to be heard by your listeners.
The late Harold Pinter is well known as a British playwright, but his poetry, not so much. How did the initial reading of Pinter's poetry fall to you?
He asked me. I was unaware of this body of work. I knew him as an actor, as a playwright, as a man of the theatre. And he had committed to a recital of a selection of his poems for a charity benefit in 2005. But his advancing illness had impaired his voice, and he didn't want to cancel the show. And he asked me to do it on his behalf, conditional of spending time with him, being tutored in every nuance, in every beat, in every pause, in every aspect of the presentation of these poems. What astonished me was the depth and breadth and power and beauty of these poems, how utterly he expressed his most intimate feelings and his humanity, his humor, his love, in a very subjective way, which in the plays, the voice of the author isn't an easy voice to identify. But in these poems, I was struck by how he revealed himself. So about 3 years after that, when Harold died, I talked to his widow, Antonia Fraser, the biographer. And in Los Angeles, I represented this recital, peppering it with extracts from obituaries and one or two people's anecdotes and appreciations. It was a memorial tribute to Harold. I was supposed to do it with a group of actors, but one by one, they all cancelled. So in order to make sure it happened, I ended up doing it all myself. And it was intended only as a one-off gig. But John Malkovich heard the event and was very taken by the poetry. He'd worked with Harold. He didn't know anything about it. And somebody there said, why don't you guys take it to the Edinburgh Festival? And John said, you know, if we work on it, we could conjure up a legitimate theatrical experience, which doesn't lose any of the spontaneity or individualism of each show being a unique performance.
So now it's become a traveling stage performance for you.
We were determined to be as entertaining for others as we found and continue to find Harold's work for ourselves. So there's a lot of energy. There's a lot of laughs. Harold could be very, very funny. And we sought to create something which you use the phrase Homeric, as in the theater of Homer, the original the ballad who told the story of the siege of Troy in the Iliad. And so it's me, and it's a pool of light, but hopefully the intimacy and the power of the interaction between me and those who are present and the material I share and introduce people to, very often for the first time, they all find as exciting and thrilling and interesting and funny and moving and intelligent as we do. When John talked about creating legitimate theatre, I think he was keen that it shouldn't be perceived as a chamber recital, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And John's experience of Harold's work in the theatre was considerable. And he had encountered him when doing a play for the BBC, Old Times. I'd done a film of one of his plays, The Room, which was directed by Robert Altman. So we both had knowledge of Harold the person, as well as Harold the writer. So Edinburgh, we went to Edinburgh, again, anticipating this is a one-off thing, but it was so well received by audience and critics that we did a little tour of England and then thought, well, we'll do, you know, five or six shows in New York and ended up doing 50 because the New York public and reviewers, again, responded with great enthusiasm and appreciation. And one way or another, we've been on tour for the last couple of years.
What aspects of Harold Pinter's life do you channel in this performance?
I don't willfully set out to channel him. He just has a habit of showing up. He has a very powerful and insistent psychic presence, I find, whenever I perform the material. I never feel that I'm alone on stage. It's always shared with this extraordinary man. What I find is each show is still a unique experience. If I may say to those who are wondering, you know, all this talk about Harold's work and this poetry, what is it? It ranges from the most delicate and beautiful and passionate of love poems, tributes to his wife, to his deep and profound anger at the destruction man can visit on his fellow man in war poems, his absurdist humor through what I call funny poems, and his very tender and humane revelation and examination of his own battle with cancer. Everybody in the audience will feel great empathy with some aspect of the show. And I say again, it is a show.
Yeah.
It's a show. You may have to fasten your seatbelts in some portions of it, but it is a show.
Is there something that you can recite for us?
Well, a love poem for the readers. What sound was that? I turn away into a shaking room. What was that sound that came in on the dark? What is this maze of light it leaves us in? What is this stance we take to turn away and then turn back? What did we hear? It was the breath we took when we first met. Listen, it is here. For a husband to say that about his wife, or for anybody to say that about their partner, I just get goose pimples.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Wow. Now, would you say a celebration of Harold Pinter is an ever-evolving work?
What makes it ever unique is the audience. It'll be the first time this material has been heard in New Orleans, I dare say, and Louisiana in the South. That energy and sensibility that the audience brings keeps the show ever evolving.
What are you hoping audiences will take away from this unique experience?
Hanging out with me and John and Harold is a lot of fun.
Julian, thanks so much.
All right, Dan. Well, good to talk, and I'm looking forward to my visit.
Enjoy New Orleans.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. Actor Julian Sands will share the late Harold Pinter's poetry in a celebration of Harold Pinter, directed by John Malkovich, at the Contemporary Arts Center, 900 Camp Street, Friday and Saturday, 7:30 p.m. Be aware, this production contains mature language. Now across town, the New Orleans Ballet Association, NOBA, is presenting the internationally acclaimed Parsons Dance with New Orleans music legend Alan Toussaint and his orchestra. And joining us now in the studio to talk about this one-night-only world premiere performance is Parsons Dance Artistic Director and Choreographer David Parsons and Jenny Hamilton, Executive Director of the New Orleans Ballet Association. Welcome.
It's wonderful to be here.
Your New York-based company continues to bring the contemporary dance experience to audiences around the globe. Tell me, what do you have in store for New Orleanians?
Well, we were asked by NOBA to do this wonderful commission. And for an artist working in so many different genres of music, to be able to come down to New Orleans and work with New Orleans musicians was just priceless for me. And then Jenny said, well, who do you want to work with? And I said, what? I can pick out of all these incredible artists. I said, Alan Toussaint. She said, you got it. So I am a very happy man right now.
I'll bet. And Alan Toussaint's performance, this is going to be the grand finale?
It is, to the evening.
Tell us more about that.
We got a program that starts with Parsons Dance. So there's four pieces on the first act. And then we have an intermission. And then we're bringing in some students that we're working with that I'm very excited about. I actually choreographed one of the pieces that we're doing with Alan, and the students will do it to open the second act with Alan live. Then Alan's going to do a set, and then we're going to have our world premiere after that. We got a heck of an evening coming up.
Yeah. Tell me about the commission, Jenny. How did this all come about that we're coupling these great dance performances with New Orleans musicians?
You know, after Katrina, I had this idea prior to the storm of coupling and pairing world-renowned choreographers with New Orleans musicians. And then Katrina happened. And so in 2008, we happened to be speaking to another choreographer, Trey McIntyre, and about New Orleans and about New Orleans and what was happening here. And so we said, you know, we revisited the idea and said, what if we gave you some money and commissioned you to create a new work and said, pick a musician? And he said, same thing David said, are you kidding me? New Orleans, jazz musicians, a commission, of course. So we actually commissioned him to work with Preservation Hall twice. And then we've also commissioned Dwight Roden to work with Nicholas Payton. And so David is the fourth of these commissions now of pairing these choreographers with what has been jazz musicians all four times. So after Katrina, we were all just trying to figure out, how does the city come back? There was no real roadmap. But what we did know was that the music and dance and the arts of this city were going to be imperative to the city's ability to really come back and get on its feet. So we knew that we wanted to be a major part of that. And these works have traveled, and I know it's going to be the same thing with David. David has so much experience working with musicians of all genres. The last time he was here in New Orleans, he actually traveled here with the East Village Opera Company and did a work with them. So we're really proud and honored to be able to be a part of this and to foster new work.
Now, the works that Alan Toussaint will be performing, what are some of the songs we'll hear?
We've got, of course, Southern Nights. I wanted to put that in as something that one of his great tunes. Say Something Sweet, Bright Mississippi, and then we close with Yes We Can Can.
And this is the performance, Yes We Can Can, with the kids?
So, yeah, we bookend that. The kids do it at the beginning, Alan, and then Alan does his set, and then we perform, and we end with Yes We Can Can like the kids.
Wow.
But we do it a little bit differently.
Care to elaborate on that?
I would just say a little bit more complicated, let's say that.
Okay. Now, the first half of the program is going to be centered on four of your acclaimed works. What are we going to see?
We're going to open with a comedy. It's called The Envelope, and it's an older work that is basically a satire on award ceremonies. And the music is by Rossini, so it's a real juxtaposition of bizarre sounds and sights. Then we're doing a piece called Brothers, which was done with a man called Danny Ezrelo, to music of Igor Stravinsky, and it takes a look at sibling rivalry. Also, we're doing a celebrated solo called Caught with the music of Robert Fripp, which gives the impression of a dancer flying, and it's done with a strobe light. So you actually, on a dark stage, you never see the dancer hit the ground. And then we close with Swing Shift, and this music is by Kenji Bunch. He's a graduate of Juilliard. It's a commissioned score, and it is just all-out ensemble dancing.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's just the first act. Whew, then we have an intermission.
It's going to be a very energetic evening.
It is, but Parsons is known for that. Man, my dancers enjoy that. We keep them in tip-top condition. Athlete dancers, I like to call them. And they're world-class. We perform all over the world. We just did 10 cities in China and 9 cities in Italy, and so we get around.
And how many dancers make up the troupe?
9.
9 dancers.
We also have a dancer from New Orleans. Her name is Abby Silva Gavazzoli, and we're very excited to have her in her hometown.
And which dance will she be doing?
She'll be doing Swing Shift and also the last piece, the new piece with Alan Toussaint.
Okay. And David, you are also giving a pre-performance talk.
I am. And I'm excited about that because it's always good to touch base with your audience and get them excited about a performance they're going to see and get a little bit behind the scenes.
David Parsons, Artistic Director of Parsons Dance, and Jenny Hamilton, Executive Director of the New Orleans Ballet Association. Thanks so much.
Our pleasure.
Thank you.
The New Orleans Ballet Association presents Parsons Dance with Alan Toussaint and the Alan Toussaint Orchestra at the Mahalia Jackson Theater, Saturday, May 10th, 8 p.m. That's our show for this week. Inside the Arts is a production of WWNO. Our program is archived at WWNO.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette next Tuesday at 1 p.m. when we'll go inside the arts. I'm Diane Mack.